Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
You start. I'm in a bad mood.
Jack is in a bad mood, Baby Nation. I don't know if you heard last week's episode of this show, or maybe 4 weeks ago's episode of the Patreon show, Babysitter's Club Little Sister, big podcast for little babies.
it's not for babies. It's for elite babies.
But Jack fucked up. We use these complex... We're like...
We're
assholes,
very professional assholes.
Who, like, insist on, like, oh, we've got all this disposable joint income from the podcast. And by all this, I mean, like...
a very small amount.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're like, we definitely need to buy mixers. Because we're fucking professionals.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to use them. We barely use them, I think. I don't think we get any value out of them. But we both bought them and used them. And they're covered in fiddly buttons and knobs. And Jack, being the dunderhead he is, fiddled with a button and knob, and screwed up our records. And luckily they were salvageable because we record backup audio on Zoom, which Jack is currently doing.
Yeah, I'm going to do it now. Now you're being recorded, so I don't see anything untoward.
He fucked up, and he screwed up the audio on those episodes, which I'm sure you heard, and I'm sure we got tweets about.
And I do all the editing, so it means that I'm going to be in the fucking
Jack does
Santa's
all the editing
workshop.
Don't cry for him. Don't weep for him, Argentina, because
I take a bigger cut of
it. Also takes all the
Nobody
money.
Needs to know this. Nobody needs to know this. That's not what we're here for, is it?
Every now and then I'll just get a text from Jack that's like, he gives me my pittance.
Your dirty money.
Yeah. Go buy yourself something nice, Toots.
Go buy yourself one of your fripperies.
So you're pissed. You're in a bad mood, huh?
Yeah, because I just discovered this, and it means I'm going to be in Santa's little workshop slaving away to make podcasts for everyone for many, many, many more hours than I expected tonight and tomorrow.
I'm in a fine mood. Yeah. Miles is doing well at daycare, Montessori school. Mm-hmm. They sent us some pictures today, and he was doing some replica play.
Yeah.
Which is playing with trucks.
Okay.
I think they call toy trucks replicas in Montessori.
Okay. That's weird.
And he does play with them. Miles is, as we've discussed, top heavy.
Mm-hmm. Got big head, big old
head,
noggin.
Little body.
Yeah.
Falls over a lot, and they send us an email every time he falls over, and they're like, just so you know.
Yeah.
Miles fell over today, and he hit the back of his head on a bookshelf. He's fine. Yeah. And it's like, you don't have to email. He does that at home, too, all the time.
They send us home with, because they have to, like, write up an incident report.
Yeah.
So they'll often, like, just solemnly hand me one, and it's like, your dumb kid, like, fucking, like, climbed up on the table and then, like, fell off of it. And, like, you could tell because he's just like, I'm like, I don't, look.
Yeah, I know. He does that here, too.
Yeah. I send him there, so you worry about that shit when it happens. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah. Leave me out of this. He's your kid now.
Here's a dad question for you. So, I've been informed that, the show and tell is on Fridays.
Okay.
And
do you need to prep something?
Well, I was like, oh, what's that, like, something cool that I can give him so that he'll seem cool, or more importantly, seem like he has a cool dad?
Truck toys. Oh, what about that print that we got from Corey Archangel in like 2013?
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, that's probably worth a lot.
He Corey should bring that in.
Corey Archangel is a very well-respected digital artist who once had an entire floor at the Whitney.
He made us all digital.
That's a great idea.
He made us all limited-run prints for our holiday gifts at Major Media Company 1 year.
Okay, well, that's awesome. That you answered. You headed me off at the pass there because I'll just give him my priceless Corey Archangel digital print. To bring, but the problem is that Cyril loves show and tell, and literally every day he says, "Is it Friday today?" Because he wants it to be show and tell, but the only thing he wants to bring for show and tell is his shark Bruce.
Okay,
he has a stuffed shark called Bruce. But here's the question: am I gonna look bad if Cyril brings the same stuffed shark toy for show and tell every week?
Every single week.
Is that gonna redound on me?
Can you get him more shark toys?
No, he has more shark toys. He's got a hammerhead one, but it's just always Bruce. Because I think for me, I would be embarrassed if we had show and tell at the office,
right?
You know, and I brought the same fucking toy in every Friday.
I think you should be embarrassed for bringing a toy at all because you're in your 40s.
Okay, what if it's like
you don't have an office.
A gadget? What if I brought in like my iPad every week?
Independent contractor.
Imagine that we're in an office.
And also, like, no one's working in office. I have an office job, and I work from home.
Come with me 10% of the way.
It's like there's so many hurdles for me to jump over.
Remember when we used to work in an office together?
No, barely.
Imagine we're back in time to this.
I barely remember when you and I used to work together, and I definitely don't remember what it was
just
like working in
an
office.
Use your imagination. We're going into an office together. It's show and tell. I bring in...
My home office? There's not enough room.
It.
Jimmy and I
forget
already
it.
Share the space.
Forget it. Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club. I'm Jack Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And this is a podcast where we talk about the classic novels of the Princess.
You give
of the
Greenring a lot of space.
Okay.
I feel like people won't know my name if you don't give it a little space.
Say it. Just say it.
Tanner Daniel Greenring. Oh, wait, Jamie doesn't want.
She specifically texted you.
Don't be a bat.
Yeah, in our Patreon show, patreon.com/BSCC podcast, Tanner got in trouble because he pretended to be a bat and woke the child, and now you're shouting. Listen.
Yes.
It's a podcast wherein we talk about the classic novels by The Hand That Shakes. She is the princess of the Prince of Town, St. Annabelle, Matthews, Martin, Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bats, the first of her name, the last of her kind, and, of course, the last hope for humankind. This week, we are going to be talking about a classic radio novel by Anne M. Martin herself and Ellen Miles called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 9, Christy and the Kidnapper.
Whew! Christy and the Kidnapper. I feel like
a lot of kids get napped this week. Wow, what a exciting
one kid almost gets napped.
Okay, but a lot more kids got napped than normal this week.
Well, yeah, I guess. Have we ever dealt with a kidnapper before? I don't think so.
The
Scott Sue fell down a hole.
I don't think it was Scott Sue.
His little brother.
One of the kids fell down a well.
He fell down a hole, and I guess there was some concern that that was a kidnapper.
Yeah, but it wasn't, that we know of.
He fell in a hole, yeah.
Unless it was, what's the guy who's a rat in the Ninja Turtles, a Rat King? Could have been.
Splinter?
No, the Rat King. You remember the Rat King?
Splinter?
No, not Splinter. I said not Splinter. There's a guy called the Rat King.
I don't know the Rat King. I don't know the Rat King, Jack. I don't know it.
Forget it. Look, I'm in a salty mood today.
And you're putting me in a salty mood.
Listen, let me finish.
With your bad attitude and your Rat King talk.
I'm in a salty mood today, so you have to meet me with kindness. Because we can't both be salty, okay?
Okay.
So this is where you carried me.
I'm going to meet you with kindness.
Okay. Right?
Mm.
Good. Okay. The Rat King is a character in Ninja Turtles.
You can't keep... But if you want me to meet you with kindness, you can't keep talking about the fucking Rat King because it's a point of tension in our relationship.
Okay, fine. What are we talking about? This book, their kids are getting napped every left and right. It's wild. It's fucking wild.
Kids are getting
it's
napped.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Ellen Miles, here's what Ellen Miles does. And I love this about Ellen Miles. And she did this last time she wrote A Friends Forever. And the Leviathan and the Scholastic lawyers come to her on her ship as it rises out of the ocean. They meet mm-hmm. her at the shore, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she walks out to the prow with her, like, hair trailing in the wind and her, like, robes flowing and her eyes glowing because she's seen something that none of us could understand beyond the horizon. And she walks, and with a booming voice that they can hear almost as if she's whispering in their ears, even though she's, like, miles away, anchored.
Okay, she says, "What? You just said she came to shore.
Fucking, what's a short amount away that's an amount of space away? She's an amount of space away from them, okay?
I'm just saying, fucking build me a world, man. God, you got me in such a... You're
supposed to meet me with kindness.
I know, but you're pushing all my buttons tonight.
Okay, fine. She's
build me a strong narrative world.
30 feet away. She's 30 feet away because she's okay. anchored because she doesn't want the ship to run aground.
Neal Stephenson?
Yeah.
You're familiar with the author Neal Stephenson?
Yes.
He is sometimes criticized for being overly technical.
Okay.
But that's what I need from you tonight.
Okay. All right.
Because
you want precision.
The things you're describing are scientifically and technically complex.
Yeah.
And I need you to get into the fine details like Neal Stephenson.
Okay. The ship is called the Dawn Treader.
Okay. What kind of ship?
Don't say Dawn Treader. Do not say Dawn Treader. I'm absolutely not in the mood for that.
I wasn't going to, but now I want to.
Ship is called the Dawn Treader. Ellen Miles is standing on the prow.
Okay.
She what kind of ship anchored, is it? It's a trireme. T-R-I-R-E-M-E.
This
does that
is
check
exactly
out,
what I,
sir?
This is exactly what out? I do when I'm reading Neal Stephenson, too. I'm okay. constantly Googling. Okay, a trireme is a tiny little rowboat that they
no,
used
not.
In ancient Greece.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It's not a fucking galleon.
Do you want me to Google trireme ship?
You look like I've done that, and you look like a fool because it's a single sail rowboat.
No, it's huge.
What a fool.
What did you even Google? It's huge.
Trireme ship. Trireme ship is what I Googled.
You did a bad job. I'm
look
texting.
Look up galleon.
No, it's a
God,
trireme.
You're pushing every one of my buttons tonight. It's a galleon.
Look, let's agree to differ. I think it's a trireme.
That
it's not
sucks.
A tiny rowboat. Look at this.
That sucks. Look up galleon.
Yeah, it's got three banks of oars.
You look like such a fool right now. Oars. Who's even rowing these days? It's fucking...
It's a warship.
2020.
Okay, fine. It's a galleon. I don't give a shit.
Spanish
it's a galleon.
Say Spanish galleon.
It's a Spanish galleon. It's called the Dawn Treader.
Dawn Treader.
Okay. She's anchored 30 feet from shore because she doesn't want to run aground. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's manned by a skeleton crew, and I don't mean a... Small
crew of skeletons.
Than normal crew. I mean, a crew of skeletons, of bone people.
What do they say in the movie? Do you believe in ghosts, Sonny?
I don't know what movie. That
do you
is.
Do you believe in ghost stories, Sonny?
Ghostbusters.
Because you're in one.
Okay, what's that?
From
Ghostbusters?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
I haven't seen it.
There's like eight of them. You've never seen any of them?
I maybe did, but I didn't take it in. She. And her eyes are glowing blue. And do you remember why?
Because she sailed to the edge of the world, to the
yes.
precipice of reality. She gazed at the void beyond understanding and recognition.
Yes, and something
and
gazed back.
Deep
and
inside the inky blackness,
yeah.
something gazed back at her and penetrated
and it recognized
her soul.
Her. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she brought that knowledge back, and she used that knowledge... Even yeah. though it was infernal and dark and negative,
yeah.
she used that energy and she used that knowledge to create Babysitter's Club books. And Jack, you were filled with dark energy
yeah.
tonight.
I am.
You were,
okay.
You refused to use it, catalyze it into podcast energy.
Okay, well, we've got where I needed to be, which is where we were about 5 minutes ago, which is that Anne hears her voice, even though she's 30 feet away. As if it is whispering in her ear, and so do the scholastic lawyers and the Leviathan. They're
on
all
the
there.
Beach?
On the beach. And it's a choppy evening, and there's a storm brewing.
Okay. I think the Leviathan would be more comfortable in the water.
The Leviathan is in the water.
Okay.
And Ellen says, what do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
and it's scary. And Anne says, can you do a Friends Forever? And she says, you know, here's the way the Friends Forever tend to work. It's based around this concept that Stacy and Claudia are fighting over boys and the club is kind of falling apart and the girls are growing up and the Babysitter's Club is no more.
It's sort of the death throes of the Babysitter's Club, yeah. And I imagine what Ellen says in response is, I've already written, it's always already been written.
Yeah, it has been written.
It's already been written. It's always been written. It will always be written.
Yeah. Since the dawn of time, I have known this book, and this book has been known.
Yeah. And then she goes to Mars and builds like a castle.
Yeah. And then she says, and it's a mystery.
And it's a mystery. Yes, yes, yes. Anne's like, no, Friends Forever. And she's like, no.
And she doesn't even say anything. She just turns around and whips her cloak around her and walks slowly below decks. And then the ship, even though there are no sails up, sails majestically towards the horizon.
Yeah. And then when it kind of reaches the horizon, you can't tell if it's a trick of the eye or what, but it seems to kind of take off into the heavens.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's good.
That's interesting. Okay.
And even though it is a kind of a warm night, a shiver at the same time runs down the spine of everyone present, all the Scholastic Liars and Anne herself.
Yeah, not the Leviathan. He doesn't have a spine.
Leviathan doesn't give a shit. He's happy. He's like a pig in shit swimming in the ocean.
Yeah, he feeds off of this kind of tension.
He loves this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a mystery. And Ellen mutinied, didn't she? It's a mutiny. It's a mutinous mystery. And Ellen brings in, she brings in people from the mystery universe. She brings Terry Hoyt back from the parallel universe of the mystery books.
Yeah. Hot and Horny.
Scary. We should describe the book.
David Hot and Horny is his real name.
Oh, yeah. It's Hawthorne, isn't it? And I forgot that.
But if you really dissect Hawthorne as a name, you can you can pull out of it. Two words, hot
and horny.
And horny.
Yeah.
Which is something we discussed during the Stacy and the money mystery episode.
Yeah.
During the mystery run.
We discussed it then, and I remember it because there were a number of people who wrote to us to say that that was either their name or they lived on Hawthorne Street and we had ruined their lives.
Imagine how I feel every time I see the name.
Let's describe the book. Let's say what happened. I'll describe it then. You describe it. I've got a big bad clock. I'm going to put 60 seconds on it. But
seems like it would be this week.
Oh, it's a mysterious
given
clock.
The sort Scary. Of circumstances we're living in. Yeah. Probably a mysterious clock, right?
Yeah. Very scary.
Can you describe it to me?
Well, I wouldn't. Honestly, I shouldn't. I first of all, I'm already reeling from the criticism that I'm too vague.
Yeah. Who said that?
You did. When? In my descriptions earlier when I was talking about the trireme.
Yes. I don't think my criticism of the trireme was that it was too vague. I think my criticism of the trireme was that it was the wrong kind of boat.
I've looked it up and I'm looking at a picture of it right now and it looks exactly like I imagine.
It's a rowboat. It's a big rowboat.
It's not a rowboat. It has fucking sails on it.
It got three decks of rowing rowed holes.
Look at this picture. Look at this picture.
God, you're being belligerent right now.
I'm going to describe the book. They have oars.
How many beers have you had tonight?
None. I haven't had time because I've been
being belligerent,
fixing the audio problems that I caused.
Wow, and you're going to blame that on me now too, huh?
Listen, let me describe this novel. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. The servers are humming inside the secret room deep below the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., where a team of elite hackers are working around the clock to undermine the president, dismantle the government, and unravel democracy as we know it. And the crowd is buzzing inside the glamorous Omni Shoreham Hotel, where teams of middle school debaters from around the country have come to compete for a prestigious national championship. When eighth graders Christy Thomas and Abby Stevenson arrive in D.C., they have nothing on their minds beyond winning another trophy. But after a chance run-in with the ruthless hacker Lance Dibden, they realize that it's not their dream of debating glory that hangs in the balance, but the fate of the very world. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 9, Christy and the Kidnapper.
Wow. Pretty vague.
Vague, yeah, thank you. But I didn't even have to put too much spin on the ball. I did. I imagined a little bit that Ellen kind of implies about the team of hackers, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
There's a dangerous hacksaw.
Hacksaw
called Lance Dibden.
Lance Dibden is his real name. His hacker name is Crash Override.
Hell yeah.
And he is part of an elite group of hackers. They're beige boxing into... Ooh. FBI phone networks. They're
Whitehouse.gov.
Yeah, they're freaking Whitehouse.gov with a PH.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're using that stuff to seduce a young Angelina Jolie, whose name is
Acid Burn. don't worry. I got you, buddy. I got you with the hackers stuff.
I haven't seen it in some years. That's about as far as my hackers knowledge extends.
It's very good. It's very resonant with this novel. I'd love for you to describe this book. I have reached inside a pocket of time, and time itself and space have become unraveled and ceased to hold any meaning. I can hear the voices of everyone who has existed in the past and future in one unholy scream, and the winding of a great grandfather clock.
So it looks like a grandfather clock?
Grandfather is a loose term to describe the kind of clock that it is. It's okay. Vastly more ancient than that.
You know, like Bible accurate angels?
Yeah.
They're just like sort of a mass of wings and eyes.
Yes.
Is it like that?
It's a lot like that.
Okay.
Yes. Very, very frightening, but it is going to serve as the timer for you to describe this novel. It is beginning now.
Okay. Christy and Abby have taken up debate. It turns out they're very good at it. They're going to Washington, D.C. to join competition for debate. They're in the kind of beginner group, but they get invited to these regional championships anyway. While they're there, they're accompanied by someone called Melissa, who we've never heard of before, but she's a Stony Brook native. While they're there, they run into a boy called Daniel Hawthorne, who you may remember as Terry Hoyt, the son of a Secret Service agent. It turns out that his dad is now working at the White House, protecting the president, and they've settled into a groove, and they no longer need to have secret identities, so he's just called David Hawthorne. He almost gets kidnapped by a man, but Christy saves his life, and then they both have Secret Service agents assigned to them. David tries to escape his Secret Service agent, just like in that episode of The West Wing, where Jed Bartlett's daughter, played by, what's her name? I don't remember her name, but she escapes and then gets kidnapped by some rednecks.
And time.
Oh, fuck. I got so hung up on the West Wing stuff.
I also forgot to time you.
Well, I don't know if it's forgetting or if it's just like time has no meaning when you pull it.
No, that's what happened. That's what happened. The clock kind of took me over. So I just said time when like I felt it in my soul.
Right.
Good stuff. What a great, exciting
Elizabeth
novel.
Moth. Elizabeth Moth. That's not right.
Elizabeth Moth. No, that is right. And there's a lot of moth lore in these books, so it checks out.
It's Elizabeth Moth, and she sort of she decides that she doesn't want to be shadowed
all
the time.
Yes, we've all seen the West Wing. Yes.
Okay. And then the guy from NCIS is a Secret Service agent, and he's in love with C.J. Craig, and he gets shot.
Yes, everybody has seen the West Wing.
Okay.
Lance Dibden.
Lance Dibden. It sounds like the kind of name you make up when you're rushed to sort of make up a name on the fly.
Well, I got a theory about it. You want to hear it?
Yep.
Tanner, Lance Dibden is obviously a reference to the Spear of Longinus.
What did you just say?
The Spear of Longinus.
Longinus?
Longinus, L-O-N-G-I-N-U-S.
Okay. Sounds like long vaginas.
Well, it's not from that.
Okay.
It's a very, very...
Sounds like a portmanteau of long vaginas.
Okay, well, it's not. It's a... Okay. It's a... Longinus was the Roman soldier who pierced Jesus' side with a lance.
Ah.
Or spear. A spear, and the spear...
You know the different things, right?
Well, sometimes it's referred to as a lance.
Okay.
In, Tanner, the myth of the Sun Grail.
Okay. Sun Grail.
The Holy Grail.
Yes.
And Ellen finally brought it in. The Grail stuff. It's huge. This opens up a whole world for us to talk about.
Finally.
Think about it. Because it always comes up. When they're looking for the Holy Grail, one of the other artifacts they're looking for is the Spear of Longinus. It's tied up with this quest for the Grail. And Lance dipped in, Tanner, a lance dipped in Jesus' blood.
Jesus' blood, which was in his chest.
It's in his side.
Well, yeah. Torso.
Yeah. Torso. Huge! Yeah. This is huge! Ellen has opened the floodgates.
What does it mean for the narrative of this radio novel, though?
Well, it's Grail Quest stuff, so I think just kind of spitballing here. So we know that Lance Dibden tries to kidnap Christy
David Hot and Horny.
David Hot and Horny, because he was part of a team of elite hackers who had fallen afoul of David Hot and Horny's dad, who is a Secret Service agent. This is actually the plot of the novel. I think probably the team of elite hacksaws may or may not be part of the, you know, Knights Templar who are still searching for the Holy Grail.
Okay. So someone ring up David Brown, because we've got Knights Templar hacksaws.
Is that Dan Brown's brother? And he would be like, he probably knows how to contact Dan Brown. I just want to kind of make the connection for people.
I know one of you has David Brown's number, and if you could ring him up so that he can call his brother Dan Brown.
Yes. Yeah.
To talk about, to get him, so connect him with Ellen to kind of talk about some of this Knights Templar stuff.
That's what I think. I mean, that's my guess. I just think that Ellen is being, she is... Open the floodgates. She's brought in a character from the Mystery Universe,
which sounds immensely dangerous.
And now she's brought in the myth of the Holy Grail.
Ellen saw the end, right?
Yeah.
She saw the horizon.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the horizon where she looked out into the inky blackness. I mean the horizon of these books.
Yeah.
She saw the horizon quickly rushing to meet her, and she thought, maybe I can stave this off a little longer. Maybe I can extend this series a little longer by introducing some pretty complex narratives around Grail Quest,
Spear of Longinus,
Spear of Long Vaginas, Knights Templar,
yeah,
all that kind
and
of
now
stuff.
They're hacksaws. It's fucking
and
great.
And there's hacksaws, yeah. Beige boxing, freaking
whitehouse.gov. This is why Ellen is the best.
Whitehouse.com.
It's Knights Templar, but now they're hacksaws. It's literally the perfect
plot. Whitehouse.com still a porn site? Should we go check?
No, I'd rather not.
Whitehouse.com.
That's where you landed.
No.
Okay.
It's a news and polling site.
Okay.
Should we take some of these polls?
No.
Do you think the U.S. government has done enough to get needed medical supplies out?
No, this sucks.
No.
You're going to get on a list. That's seditious.
Okay. You remember when it used to be a porn site?
Okay. Let me ask you a question. The line of discussion we were on was that the Knights Templar has existed since the Middle Ages and is now alive and well, and they're hacksaws working underneath the Capitol building to bring down the Babysitters Club. And what you pulled out of that is Whitehouse.com still a porn site?
Well, you got me all charged up with your long vaginas talk.
Okay, that's what it is.
So I had to go check.
Okay. But it's such an exciting book, but we're going to have to take a break, but there's also a debate. They're all expert debaters now, and there's a whole big debate.
They've all decided that they're big expert debaters. They do a debate that you and I did for a major media company once called, what is better, cats or dogs?
Cats or dogs, yeah.
Here's my official stance, so do not at me about this.
Do not at me
to ask anyone.
Okay.
Not you, not the listeners, anyone. Do not ask me about it, and do not challenge me on it. Here's my official stance on cats versus dogs.
Okay.
Both good. I like both.
Yeah.
I've had both. Mm-hmm. I've celebrated both.
Yeah.
One of the creatures I've most cherished in this world was a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dog now. He's great. I think both are good, and I hate to be enlightened centrist about this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be an enlightened centrist about this.
And I will say, and we'll end the debate here, that you are, sir, half right. And the debate that Christy and Abby have, and so they are on a team, they're on put on separate teams, which is the cause of the struggle. And they are forced to debate this question, are cats better than dogs?
Yeah.
And it tears them apart.
That's not the question.
Cats are better than dogs.
The question is this, resolved.
Resolved. Cats are better pets than dogs. Something like that. That's how you do debate.
Resolved, continued Arthur Greenleaf, who's the guy who runs.
Arthur.
Our Pendragon.
Yep. Once you start seeing
You know what Greenleaf is?
The Gawain and the Green Knight.
Do you know how to say Greenleaf in Cinderella?
In Elven?
Yeah.
No.
Legolas.
Okay. Okay, wow. So Ellen's really just pulling out all of the stops, isn't she?
Whew. Anyway, Legolas says, resolved that cats make better pets than dogs. And isn't that interesting? So what Peter Jackson has decided is that Legolas, who he introduces in the films as Legolas Greenleaf.
Yeah.
Legolas's name is Legolas, or his name is Greenleaf Greenleaf.
Okay. I'm following you, I think.
Yeah.
It's a tortuous train of thought, but I think I'm with you. We're just shitting on Peter Jackson right now.
You're right here with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right here with me.
I didn't love the movies.
The Lord of the Rings films are very good. Mm-hmm. And you're being wrong and pigheaded and belligerent about that.
Okay. Resolve.
Hobbit
They're
films?
Not
good.
Yeah.
I've been on a tear recently where I've been watching them while under the influence of a controlled narcotic.
Okay, great. You sounded like you were going to be coy and delicate, and then you just like went straight for it.
Recently, and I watched all the Lord of the Rings films, and they are still so good, hold up so well, very engaging, very rich. Mm-hmm. Then I started watching the Hobbit movies, and I had to turn the first one off.
It's
halfway through. It was like unwatchably bad.
It's a
and travesty. I remember kind of liking them. And then there was a whole scene where the dwarves are like farting and like cleaning plates and singing some dumb song about farting. And I was like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, and they prove that in retrospect, the Lord of the Rings films were always bad, which is something that I knew at the time, and I was the only person who knew it. What we should do is take a quick break, I think.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk more about this novel.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment,
We are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's talk about it, huh? Let's talk about it.
The elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room.
Time to talk about it.
Do you want me to talk about something? Well, I can tell you something that I thought was funny and cool. Something that was cool. Do you want to hear something that I thought was cool?
Yeah.
This is something also that Ellen did that I thought was fucking dope, and it's so clever. It's so smart. Here's a passage from the novel. So at the end of the novel, after they've apprehended Lance Dibden, in a terrifying showdown where he like runs across the debate room floor and tries to kidnap the child again.
Yeah.
Kidnap Hot and Horny again. Mm-hmm. And he's wrestled to the ground by Mr. Hot and Horny.
Yeah.
Mr. Hot and Horny takes Christy and David to and Abby to the White House for a special visit.
Yeah.
And the following thing happens. As I was wondering what would happen next, I heard Mr. Hot and Horny call a greeting to someone. I looked up to see a man in uniform ride by on a bike, waving as he passed us. "Whoa, cool," said Abby. "Isn't it?" asked Mr. Hot and Horny. "That's Agent Brancusi. He's one of our newest bike patrol agents.
Brancusi.
They patrol the White House compound. If they see anyone suspicious, they can chase him or her down easily." And this is very clearly Ellen Miles setting up for the next BSC spinoff, White House Bike Patrol.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Obviously. Doesn't that sound fucking dope? White House Bike Patrol?
And you think Abby and Christy are going to join the White House Bike Patrol?
There'll be characters in it, but it'll be about the White House Bike Patrol. But it's like she's set it up, you know?
Right.
She's planted the seed. Like, sure, Abby and Christy will probably make cameos.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound good? I would love that.
Is that all? Do you want to flesh out? Do you want to come up with a pitch for White House Bike Patrol? Or do you want?
I mean, I think it pitches itself. Okay.
Or is this an Ellen thing? Do we even not want to touch it because it's like maybe outside of our abilities?
I mean, I don't think that I would say that we've got Ellen on board. If I'm pitching it, I would say I've got Ellen Miles on board.
Here's something I didn't understand about the passage.
Yeah. Okay.
They're in the White House?
Yeah.
And this guy's on a bike?
Yeah. It's the White House compound.
So he's inside the White House.
He's biking around the White House. That's why it's
like the hallways?
I assume so. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the show West Wing?
Yeah, everyone's seen it.
I get the impression from West Wing that the hallways around...
They're pretty small.
Everyone does there's a lot of walk and talks.
Now there's going to be a lot of bike and talks. Think about try to come with me on this. He's biking around the White House hallways, and there are often criminals on the loose.
The bike house.
It's the bike house.
You almost called it the bike house. Let's just call it the bike house.
Okay, fine. Bike house.
We're already biking around it. You know?
I don't think it has the same ring as White House Bike Patrol.
No.
And then when they catch a criminal, they say, "White House Bike Patrol, you're under arrest."
We're not calling it the White House anymore. We're calling it the Bike House. It's the Bike House Bike Patrol.
Bike House Bike Patrol.
Doesn't that sound good?
I don't like it as much, frankly.
Okay. Well, this is a creative process.
Yeah.
that you're being invited into Baby Nation. So yeah.
We've got Ellen Miles on board as screenwriter, pretty much. Set in the White House. So there's politics, and there's intrigue, and there's biking. It's a lot like Premium Rush.
Okay, yeah. So this book is a lot like a number of films.
Yeah.
Hackers?
Yeah.
Premium Rush, and it's like the TV show West Wing.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other media properties?
I don't know. He's a Secret Service agent, and it's hinted that he is a secret, that Mr. Hot and Horny is a Secret Service agent who guards the president himself. And the president in the BSC universe is different from ours, and we know this because of the following passage. Mr. Hot and Horny took off. David turned to us with a grin. Okay, he said, time for one of my favorite activities. What's that? I asked. Find Sparky. You mean the president's cat? Abby said, staring at him. Everyone's seen that cat on TV.
When is this book published? Is this GW?
Well, but I'm saying it's not, right? Because there's no president who's had a cat called Sparky. Therefore, Ellen is revealing to us that the president in the Babysitter's Club universe is not the same as the president in our universe.
Yeah, or she's sort of getting her wires crossed because she does sort of exist out of time and space. So it's like it could be a future or distant past president.
Right, okay.
That she's sort of talking about.
Or maybe she knows something about George W. Bush that we don't.
Speaking yep. of David Hot and Horny.
Okay, yeah.
I wanted to say this about him.
Okay, that's great. It's a great sentence construction, if I may.
Yeah.
They walk in beauty, night and noon. These handsome men who do their worst, singing their beguiling tune. I find myself immersed in thirst, or as the youth say, hashtag swoon. With hashtag vapors, I've been cursed.
Oh, it's good to hear that mellifluous sound again. What a beautiful poem. And it's our hit mysterious segment from the mysteries called hashtag swoon.
You look exactly like this boy I used to know a little, I told him. He did, too. Terry had the same brown hair and same hazel eyes. In fact, I remember Stacy, who had known Terry best, I think she had a little crush on him, going on and on about how special his eyes were, all filled with gold flecks.
Yeah, weird.
Terry had been pretty cute. So was David. I saw a few girls in the crowd checking him out.
So the confusion is because David initially says to... refuses to reveal that he is the same kid that they knew in... I guess it's like Stacy and the Counterfeiters. It's something like that.
It was Stacy and the Money Mystery.
The Money Mystery.
Yeah.
And because he's like... I guess he has to be undercover if his dad is undercover. He's like, no, I'm a different guy. And Christy's like, we literally like solved a mystery with you.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, that ain't me. But he's beautiful.
Else.
And he's got gold in his
eyes.
But
his gold-flecked eyes are unmistakable.
Yeah.
Once you see them, you're entranced forever. Yeah. It's like looking into a Gorgon's gaze.
Yes.
A Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
And being enraptured and turned into stone.
Gorgeous.
That is the boy who made me hot and horny this week.
And it's hot and it's
fitting.
And
the name fits.
Yeah, it fits the bill. That's why they call him that. David Hot and Horny. Yeah, that's why he's got to keep changing his name.
It's why he has to keep changing his name.
Whenever he goes from town to town.
Too many. Because
he's already so hot and horny that if he also were clearly named that, it would be too much for everyone. It would just overload the circuits.
Yeah.
Very handsome boy this week. And Christy doesn't seem interested. No one seems interested. No one's interested. That's not what this book is about. It's about debate first, kidnapping second. Both things happen at the same time. Yes.
You are a young man in the prime of his life.
Yes.
Have you ever done debate?
No. Here's what I did in school at when I was Christie's age. I went out for two big things. One was the Shakespeare competition, where I performed some verses from Shakespeare for the whole school. Still got it, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it. Crack me off a bit of that.
Here we go.
Yep.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day until the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle, life is but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Wow. Talk about hot and horny.
Hot and horny. And that's what I did for the school in eighth grade, and I did pretty well. And then the other thing I did was just public speaking, where I created
debate
a
debate is
speech,
kind of public speaking.
But I never went out for debate.
Interesting. I had to do debate around this age, too. I was in junior high. I took a debate class.
Yeah.
And we had to do debate. And I remember that the resolution was that the war in, this is probably, I'm going to say 98.
Okay.
99.
Okay.
The war in Kosovo was justified.
Great.
And I had to take the negative.
And you said no.
On that. And I remember doing a lot of research and sort of framing my debate around the Vietnam War and being like, this is futile. All war is futile. This is needless.
Yeah.
The U.S. has zero reason to be intervening in this war.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who took the positive debate on this,
mm-hmm.
keep in mind I'm 14.
Yeah.
I'm 36 now and I could not tell you what the war in Kosovo was about.
Yeah.
Was there even a war in Kosovo? Don't know. Mm-hmm. Where is Kosovo? Don't know.
Yeah.
But at 14, I was very well informed on it. And the guy who I was debating, I thought I had it locked down.
Yeah.
The guy I was debating did a complete emotional appeal, just talked about respecting the troops, and won the debate because of that. His entire argument was like, well, we got to respect the troops.
You're like, what? I was like, 4 minutes for a rebuttal. Try to keep your remarks to the idea that you obviously hold, which is that we should not respect the troops. Okay, go.
That's essentially how it happened.
That's
and
tough,
I just, like, I just gave up. I was like, I don't...
I think the one time I was involved in any kind of debate was in seventh grade when I was asked to uphold the position that Columbus was good.
Yeah.
It was around the time where the world was kind of discovering that that wasn't true.
Yeah.
And I, like, being in seventh grade, I was like, well, this is easy. I don't even need to study for this because everyone knows. 1492, people. Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
We have a fucking day named after him.
And everything is fine. And I just got totally decimated.
It reminds me of the time I went to Australia for work, and they have a figure of legend in Australia akin to
Captain
our
Cook.
Columbus called Captain Cook.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was reading all about Captain Cook, and I was like, this guy seems rad as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it up to the Australians. It's like,
what
tell me
guy.
More about this Captain Cook.
Yeah.
Like, no. They're like, we don't,
they're like,
we're not into Captain Cook.
We're
here.
Over him. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, he was very unkind to native populations. And I was like, okay, got it.
Well, we neither of us are debaters.
Yeah.
But we did read a book.
Master. Hey, Jack.
No.
Master of debaters.
So there are two. So Ellen. Okay, I heard it.
Out of the park home run.
Ellen and Anne avoid that joke. But they go instead for two jokes that I had never thought of and don't know why they dwelled on them. The first is like early on in the book where Christie's describing debating terms and then like does a couple paragraphs on the fact that all the boys in the class like cannot fucking hold it back when they hear the term rebuttal. Because it has butt in
it. It's got butt.
And you know Ellen Miles is like, I think Ellen, that's just projection. Because she's like, oh man, I'm going to have to do a whole book about debate.
She's like researching
debate. I don't know how I'm
going to
say rebuttal without just, let's just talk about the elephant in the room.
She's received the message from the inky blackness. And she comes back and she's like, I guess I should do a little research on debate. And she's looking into debate and she sees that one of the core terms in debate is rebuttal. And she's just like, well,
Okay.
That's 12 pages.
And then the other thing she does is even weirder, and it has precedent in Babysitter's Club books. I'll read you a passage, though it's worth filling in a little bit of plot here, which is that there's like a C plot, which is that this girl, Melissa, which means B. I'll just say it. Melissa means B. I'll say it.
What do you mean it means B?
The word Melissa, it comes from the Greek word Melissa, which means B. And there's a character in this book called Melissa Banks.
Okay. B Bank.
B Banks. And that's interesting to think about, isn't it?
The bank full of bees.
Yeah. Melissa is in this book. And she actually, we have met her before. You said we hadn't, but we have. She was in the book where I think Claudia goes on a field trip. She's always on field trips, and she shares a room with Melissa, and Melissa is annoying.
Oh, yeah. So they do say kind of early on in the novel that Claudia maybe knows Melissa a little bit.
Claudia knows her.
None of the other girls
do. She's like super annoying. She's kind of annoying in this book. She's actually a really interesting character. She's very unsure of herself, and so she's in the old days, we used to call this pressed. She's like super pressed for Christy and Abby, and it's like constantly just like, trying to be like them and say what they say agree with what they say.
I saw a lot of myself professionally in Melissa.
Yeah.
This is something I do a lot in a professional environment where it's like just eager to please and like very wishy-washy, will just go along with whatever opinion is being presented to me at the time.
They're constantly having conversations on the bus where like Christy's like, oh, what do you think about debate? Are you enjoying it? And Melissa's like, oh, I think it's for nerds. And then Christy will be like, oh, I think it's cool. And Melissa will be like, oh, yeah, no, what I meant is I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Fucking have some backbone. But so that's important. And Melissa also is this interesting character because she like meets up with her like, she has this like boyfriend and they're a super kissy face.
Yeah, they do smooches together.
But she's also an excellent debater and she wins a trophy. Anyway, that's all you need to know for this interesting passage where Ellen gets hung up on another funny word, and I will read it to you. Excellent, said Lucas. Hey, I have an idea. For the next round, let's all try to put down slang words or rude words. They're playing Scrabble. That's how my friends and I play sometimes. What do you mean? I asked. Like, but? Melissa, okay, all right. I didn't expect a laugh from you there. Did not expect a laugh from you there.
But? Are you kidding me?
All right, let it out.
But?
You're going to wake
Jesus.
A child.
Wow. But?
Yeah. Melissa giggled. Okay. Just tell me when you're done because I'd love to continue reading the passage.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I'm riding this high to the end of the night.
Okay.
What?
Let me just try to fucking hold it together. Melissa giggled. Abby, believe it or not, blushed. But Lucas nodded. Or snot or fart. Words like that. Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Did you say snot?
I did. Ellen did.
Fart.
Let it go. This is not why I'm reading the passage.
Whoa. Those are such naughty words.
Okay. Yeah, that's a way you can play Scrabble.
Wow. Okay.
Can I please continue?
If you say so, man.
Now we were all giggling and blushing a little. I looked down at my letters. How about this, I asked, putting down the word nerd.
Okay, that's a
everyone cracked up.
It was just kind of hurtful.
So here's, you'll notice that you laughed at the funny words. Fart, snot, butt. Right?
Getting me going again, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't laugh at the nerd word. This like, I had like immediate deja vu.
Okay.
And I went in search of it because I was like, this is not the fucking first time that Anna Martin has tried to incept me with the clearly false notion that it's funny to say nerd in the same way that it's funny to say things like butt or fart.
Okay. You think Anne has like a...
She's got a thing, and I tracked down the passage, and you want to know where it's from? It's from the fucking first book, from Christy's Great Idea.
Okay.
Can I read you this passage? That's like a trip down memory lane. You ready for this? Christy's great idea. First fucking book. Oh, forget Janine, I said. Anyway, and so they're trying to figure out what the symbol should be for the Babysitter's Club. They end up, you know, and this is a spoiler, but they end up having like block baby letters to write out the word Babysitter's Club. That's the symbol they land on.
Yeah, it's a very iconic.
It's iconic.
Imagery from the cover of every single one of the books.
But in this book, if you can imagine it, they haven't figured that out yet. Oh, forget Janine, I said. Anyway, we're all going to think of the symbol. We're a club. We have to agree on things. Now, what could we use? Well, said Marianne, it could either be something that has to do with babysitters, like a child or a helping hand, or it could just be something we like, a rainbow or a shooting star or a frog. Fuck.
Okay, and it's right there from the fucking
right there
beginning,
in the fucking
huh?
beginning.
She frogged us.
She frogged us. She frogged us in the first fucking book. Wow.
And we didn't even know it yet. We're fucking infants learning how to walk. And Marianne's just laying down some brutal frog.
A frog, I burst out. I began to giggle. So did Claudia and Stacy. Marianne looked embarrassed. Then she began to laugh too. How about a warthog, suggested Claudia. A nerd, said Stacy. We were all laughing so hard we could barely talk. That's...
Does nerd mean something differently to Anne than it means to us?
Yes, surely. Right?
Nerds are cool now. Have you ever seen Hackers, Anne?
Yeah. Have you ever seen West Wing?
We're beige boxing. We're freaking. Anne. Yeah, West Wing. What about
we're filibustering.
What's his name? The guy with the glasses.
Yes. Or the handsome one.
Sam Seaborn.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not a nerd.
He's not a nerd.
But the guy with the glasses is.
Yeah. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
But so that's a thing, right? That's a thing. That's the second time. I don't know if Ellen's just copying Anne. She's like, I learned it from watching you. But yeah. She's like deploying nerd as a punchline in a way
happy,
that like doesn't fit or work.
Guy with glasses, West Wing.
No. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. Everyone's seen the West Wing. Think about what's going to happen for people. You're going to figure it out, and you're going to say this name, and people are going to be like, "Yeah, Toby Ziegler."
Not Toby Ziegler.
Is it the guy from Sports Night?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So just write guy from Sports Night, West Wing.
Well, his name is, I know his real name, which is Josh Molina.
Yeah. Okay.
Will Bailey.
Great. Perfect. Nailed it. And that's about what I expected, is people are like, yep.
You know what?
Okay.
If it were up to me, I thought Josh Molina, Will Bailey, was such a charming character and such a good actor.
Yeah.
And I would just love to hear more from him about sort of like being a part of the West Wing. If he could, like, I don't know if he's interested in collaborating with us on like a sort of like a podcast environment where he is sort of telling us stories and we're interacting with him about the West Wing.
That sounds so great.
Wouldn't that be good?
That'd be amazing. He'd be perfect for that. We could call it the West Wing Wing.
The West Wing Wing.
Yeah.
It's the wing of the podcast where we talk about the West Wing.
That's great. There's no way he'd do it. There's no way a TV actor would debase himself.
Okay, fine.
Going to the podcast medium.
If he's not interested, we'll get our friend.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Mark Feuerstein.
Mark Feuerstein.
Our best friend Mark Feuerstein can do it. Yeah. That
sounds
great.
We'll get Matthew Perry to do it.
Okay. Great.
I'm sure he's available. We'll get Martin Sheen to do it.
Perfect.
Allison Janney.
That's great. Tanner, I would love to go.
I would like that too, Jack, but I once again need to remind you of your duty.
Yeah. My
solemn
duty.
Promise to me.
Mm-hmm. Which is that we do, eh? Yeah,
I don't know why I have to whisper anymore. I fucking live in a three-story mansion.
I have like contact
in suburban central Connecticut
anxiety from the last time you woke up your child.
Fuck this kid. He's 1,000 feet away from me. He's in the West Wing. Why am I worried? Why do I have to worry about this?
I don't know, man. But it's our burn. It's where we talk about the burns in the book. There are a couple good ones. I've got two.
I only have one, so maybe I should start.
Why don't you start? Yeah.
It's the final debate.
Okay.
Thomas v. Stevenson.
Yeah, it's pretty tense. And Christy and Abby end up getting, you can imagine, you know Christy, you know Abby. They basically are not on speaking terms by the end of this novel because their teams are going up against each other. They do make it up eventually, but.
Resolution. Cats make better pets than dogs.
Yeah.
During my opening argument, I heard myself slipping into a tone of voice that was not even tempered or cool. I sounded defensive and angry, but I couldn't help myself. This debate was personal. It had become that way over the last few days, whether I'd meant it or not. Even though some people can't admit it, I found myself saying as I glared at Abby, cats are smarter than dogs. In fact, cats are smarter than some people. I gave Abby a meaningful glance.
Good. Strong.
Yeah.
And Christy's she means you, Abby.
Yeah, she means you. Christy's saying that cats are smarter than you. And I had a cat once, and he ate its own shit, so.
I got two cats.
Not very smart. Do they eat their own poop?
No.
Okay. I think that was sort of a unique thing that Bull did.
Bless his heart. Good funny thing. And Ellen has a lot of fun with the fact that it turns out that Abby and Christy are both arguing opposite sides of what they actually feel.
Yes. And that's another point of tension between the two of them. Abby is pro cat because she's allergic to dogs. Christy is pro dog because she has had many dogs. And her only real experience with cats is Boo Boo, who's like a piece of shit.
I bet Boo Boo is fucking fine if you take a second to get to know him on his terms. It drives me wild the way they treat Boo Boo.
And that's the problem, isn't it? On his terms.
Exactly.
We fucking domesticated these things. It's not on their terms. It's on our terms.
It's how you learn.
We have dominion over these beasts.
It's a great way to learn how to be in the world. It's meeting someone where they live. And seeing the world through their eyes and not fucking like demanding slavish devotion.
No. I didn't spend millennia training these things just for them to be dicks to me. I've only ever had good cats. I love cats.
Yeah, they're so
love
great.
Them.
God, they're
Jamie
so
and
great.
I talk, I would say once a week, Jamie and I look around our lovely suburban Connecticut home and think,
get a cat, we please. Could,
let's get a cat. Please. And Miles loves cats. Please Jamie has a shirt from major media company that she wears as pajamas, and it's got the California flag, but instead of a bear, it's got a cat, and Miles points at the cat every morning, and he says nothing because he's
pre-verbal. He points at it. That's beautiful.
He points at it, and he likes it.
Get a fucking cat, man. Get a cat.
Oh, we should get a cat. Hercules is great.
Yeah.
My dog.
Yeah.
And I love him, and I'm going to be so sad when he passes.
Yeah, and I'm not going to speak ill of the stupid.
Yeah, but the strongest emotional attachments I've ever had to any animal has been cats.
Yeah, oh my God. It's everything.
Meg, Bull.
Jenkins.
That's all the cats I've owned. I've interacted with Jenkins, and I liked him a lot.
Yeah, I love my cats more than anyone that I've ever met in my entire life. Anyone.
Yeah.
Something to think about. That's a great place to end it, except that I haven't said my burn yet. There's a guy in Christie's debate team, along with David Hot and Horny, called Kai. He's actually the best debater and probably who carries them because he wins the best individual debater trophy after the...
And he coaches Christy through her... The emotional moment that I just read.
Yeah.
The reason he wins best debater is because he coaches Christy through that moment and he centers her and levels her.
Yes. And he's
says,
amazing.
Christy, focus on the facts. Yep. Facts don't care about your feelings.
Right. Focus on the family.
Focus on the family, which is another thing Ben Shapiro probably likes. And
yeah,
get out there and do some fucking debating.
Get out there and do some fucking work. And because Abby and Christy are so emotional and angry with each other that they almost ruin the debate finals. And the other thing that almost ruins the debate finals is that a elite hacksaw called Crash Override does run through the lobby of the hotel. I said in my description it was the Omni Shoreham Hotel. It doesn't specifically say that, but I remembered it because after we would go to raves in DC when I was in high school, we used to go and sleep in the lobby of the Omni Shoreham Hotel until they kicked us out at like 4 a.m. That's cool, right?
God, that is cool. Yeah. I hate to admit it, but that is pretty cool thing to say and a cool thing to have done.
Yeah. There's a guy called Kai. There's a Haxor. He gets taken down by Mr. Hot and Horny. The debate goes pretty well. Anyway, the
Papa
burn
Hot and Horny
involves Kai, and it goes like this. Kai, David, and I did a three-way high five. It was Saturday morning. We had just emerged from debate room one, where we'd won another round of the tournament. We really do make a good team, I said to them. Somehow we complement one another. Sure, you have the big mouth, Kai has all the brains, and I supply the charm and charisma. How can we miss? David said. That's funny.
Good.
Because she's got a big mouth, and the other
guy's
have
got a
good
big
talent.
Mouth. Yeah.
Good, funny, hot, horny.
Got a big mouth. Let me search it.
Yeah.
Lay your thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
That is what Missy Elliott says. Yeah. What I would love to say now to you, Tanner, is that it's past time that we leave and also go.
Okay.
With your permission.
Oh, wow. You're right.
Yeah. I would like to leave. I would like to go. I would like to first thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us.
You're welcome.
I would like to remind everybody, please, to take a moment and go to our Patreon. It is at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. We put a lot of time and effort into making that show. It's a whole other show where we talk about the Little Sister books, and it is a great way to support our work and keep us doing what we're doing. And we do sing the descriptions. patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. For just $5 a month, you get a whole other show, and it's good. Please also buy our merch.
bit.ly/BSCC merch. Some other merch guy came sniffing around old Papa Tanner and Papa Jack this week.
Yeah. So there's a lot of hot demand for to be our merch guys. So we must
and
be doing
he
something
said,
right.
He tried to sing his siren song to us, didn't he, Jack? And he was like, come do merch with us, boys.
Yeah. But and right
we
now
said,
we don't.
Night.
Well, we didn't respond.
We shan't.
Both fairly unresponsive.
I did
email.
Respond to him. I don't think you saw it, but I did respond to him.
Okay.
And I said, we shan't, sir.
Yeah.
We're happy with our merch providers, and our merch is great, and our fans love it, and they're going flocking to the merch site to buy it every day, and that's what you should do.
Please do that.
But I did respond to him and say, I've got another show, sir.
Would you
like to do merch for that show?
It's called exp.share. It's a Pokemon podcast. You can find it everywhere. It's called Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast. You can find it everywhere that you get podcasts. I'm told it's good. It's Tanner and another guy named Josh, who's nice, and he's the evolved Pokemon version of me. So please do check it out. Please do subscribe. Please do rate.
He's like you, but better in a lot of ways. He's well put together.
Mm-hmm.
Better looking.
He's much better looking.
Gay, which is cool and progressive
much cooler.
In 2020.
He's married to a famous podcaster.
Married to a famous podcaster. Who are you married to?
I'm married to Sarah,
who is
immensely
cool and
talented
nice. And she
writer.
Is a pretty well-known and popular ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're even there.
Kind of an even draw in a lot of ways, huh?
Please do subscribe to Tanner's podcast.
It kind of seems like the odd man out in this is me. Actually, maybe you and Josh should have a podcast.
Yeah, your wife is also a super talented writer, too.
Yeah.
Oof, man, there's
what
just like
I
this
do?
Like there's just like one
nothing
sore standing out on the beautiful face that is the rest of us. What I would love to say is that you must join our Facebook group. Go to our Facebook page, which is Babysitters Club Club, and join the group, which is called Baby Nation, and it's where all the action happens, and everyone in there is so nice and so good, and we have weekly threads where we talk about the episodes and also lots of fun threads where everyone is nice and good and funny and interesting, so get in there. Please do rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us to remain relevant. I checked our rankings, and we are still kind of hanging on as a top literature podcast, which is what I decided that we were when we signed up for this great adventure about 5 years ago.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. So please...
except for the video novels.
Yeah, help us remain...
I'm surprised they didn't kick us out.
Yeah. Please help us remain in the rankings so people can discover our show by giving us a nice rating and review. I think all that remains for me to say is that this week we did read a novel, a radio novel that was called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 9, Chrissy and the Kidnapper. Next week we're going to be reading a radio novel called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 10, Stacy's Problem. So we're finally going to find out what Stacy's problem is.
Yeah, finally. I'll tell you, I got a lot of problems yeah. with Stacy.
Yeah, did you write this one, Tanner?
I could fill a fucking novel.
I'm looking forward to that.
Dostoyevsky has nothing on me.
Finally, I would like to tell you that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think the boys had just been invented. In 86, and in my world, the first book of what became a cult, and now it's time. Babysitter's Club. We went to go to a picnic in the park, and I was walking Cyril back to the car, and these like girls, like kind of sorority girls from UT, were getting out of their car as we were just passing them. And the girl was telling a story, and she turned to her friend. She was like, and I was like, fuck you. And as she said that, Cyril was walking past and he goes, fuck you. And they were all thanks. So embarrassed. They were all so embarrassed. I was laughing my ass off, and they were like,
thanks for teaching him that, lady.
Yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.